Today, what they don't tell you about household spending. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, well, latest post covering finance and property news. Today we got the latest data from the ABS relating to household spending. Overall, the story continues with household spending more on things they must buy and less on things they choose to buy. And importantly, household consumption did not deliver the expected strength in the GDP data yesterday, as many households remain under financial pressure. Not surprising given the lack of real income growth and higher interest rates. And while real GDP increased 0.8% in the quarter, so did total hours worked, which meant that the growth in GDP per hours worked, or known as productivity, was, guess what? Zero. Plus, I have significant issues with the ABS spending data and its interpretation. It's only a partial snapshot of household spending, and it's an aggregate average, as there is no dispersion data. And we know from our segment-based survey, some cohorts are spending big, while others have little capacity to spend at all. What's your experience? Do comment below. And next week, I'm going to report on the results of our survey for February, so I'm going to be ahead of the ABS on profiling households. Now, we will look at the data from the ABS, but first, we should note that the monthly household spending indicator is derived using bank transactions, supermarket transactions, and new vehicle sales data only. It's aggregated data that doesn't contain information about individuals or households, and it's a business side view of product sales and doesn't cover the whole population. The bank card transaction data is provided to the ABS by participating banks for statistical production purposes. The data is provided to the ABS following the end of each calendar month, and once all the data is received, it's validated and collated. The data is received in different formats and classifications from the participating banks. Some banks provide data at a low level of categorization, for example, at a bank allocated merchant category level, and others provide categorized data at the Australian and New Zealand standards industrial classification level, which is a lot higher. Data is received at different frequencies too, daily, monthly, weekly. All participating banks provide data at an identifiable state and territory level. Then the ABS receives weekly transaction data and aggregates the selected data from supermarket chains. The transactions scanner data captures point-of-sale purchases from supermarkets and contains detailed information about transactions, dates, quantities, product descriptions, and the values of products sold. The data is received in different formats again and classifications from the participation supermarkets and is then standardized before being processed. Each supermarket provides item-level sales data by the week at varying levels of geography. And then the ABS receives monthly vehicle sales data from the FCAI via the VFAX data sets and also uses publicly available data on electric vehicle sales from the Electric Vehicle Council, the EVC. These data sets capture vehicle sales within the reference month and contains detailed information about the make, class, and engine type of the vehicles. The FCAI sales aggregates are delivered at the state and part of state level of geography, like Victoria Metro or Victoria Rural. The source data does not cover the whole population, though. And in the case of bank data, it doesn't include all payment types. While cash payments, direct transfers outside banks, cryptocurrency and BPAY transactions are all forms of household spending, these are not currently included due to a lack of available data sources or the ability to identify such transactions in the data sets. And the ABS notes that this data is not designed for statistical purposes, so it doesn't capture spending by Australian residents on goods and services offered outside Australia, and the card transaction data received from the banks excludes transactions if they are in a foreign currency and the location of the card terminal is outside Australia. And also, the data sources don't capture expenditures incurred by residents, non-profit institutions serving households, which are actually included in some of the other series. So there are potential areas of both undercoverage and over-coverage in the card transaction data set. For example, not all Australian resident households are represented within the supplied bank data, resulting in undercoverage of the population. Additionally, not all payment types are captured in the bank data, and in fact, they only use credit and debit card spending. And there is also a potential overcoverage, and as individuals may use their personal bank cards for business-related purchases. Instances of over or under coverage can introduce bias and variance in the estimates, the ABS says. So the ABS makes a series of adjustments, including seasonal adjustments, to try and compensate for those defects. But this does mean that the big payments like mortgages, rates, energy bills, insurance, school fees, and communication services and the like are missing in action. And these are really big chunks of household spending. But the series does include food, alcoholic beverages and tobacco, clothes and footwear, furnishing and household equipment, health, transport, recreation and culture, hotels, cafes and restaurants, and also miscellaneous goods and services like hairdressing salons, perfume and cosmetics. This excludes, of course, just to be clear, insurance and other financial services. So you might well ask, what is the point, therefore, of this series? It's a very good question, because it's really not that useful. But perhaps we can nevertheless draw some conclusions about household spending, noting the partial nature of the data. So turning to the data, it showed that household spending rose 0.3% in January 2026, according to the season-adjusted figures. Recall that in January, we got the CPI up 0.4% in original terms and 0.5% in season-adjusted terms. That's according to data released on the 25th of February. Or in other words, households spending in these categories slowed. The 0.3% rise in January from the spending indicators followed a fall of 0.5% in December and a rise in 1% in November. Some of that, of course, is to do with black sales and the Christmas period. Household spending over the year remains high in nominal terms, up 4.6% compared to January 25. But at 4.6%, it does imply real per capita spending continues to decline over the year. And this compares with the CPI, which rose 3.8%, unchanged from 3.8% in the 12 months to December. So is this signal or noise, we ask? Well, spending on services drove the rise, up 1%, driven by other services, including digital streaming services, they put their prices up, and travel agency and tour services. Health services also contributed to higher spending in dental services in particular. This is a reflection of higher salaries and prices in those sectors. It was partially offset by a fall in spending on goods, down 0.3%, driven by drops in the purchases of motor vehicles and also in the recreation and culture goods sectors. Essential spending rose 0.8%, and that was driven by health services and spending on motor vehicle repairs and maintenance, again, thanks to inflation and wages. But discretionary spending was up just 0.1% this month, driven by spending on air transport, personal effects, and recreation and cultural services. And looking at the states, momentum has softened across all states in recent months, with Western Australia the only state showing softer trends than at the start of 2025. Tasmania recorded the largest rise in percentage terms, while New South Wales saw the biggest increase in dollar terms. After sharper falls last month, both New South Wales and Victoria recorded a 0.5% gain. Western Australia rose 0.3% across the month, followed by a 0.1% lift in Queensland, while South Australia posted a small fall, down 0.1%. Momentum has softened across all states in recent months, with WA the only state where growth is now weaker than at the start of 2025, and Tasmania was up 0.6%. That was the largest monthly rise, while the Northern Territory recorded the largest monthly fall, down 2.3%. So my take is indeed there are some clues here about what is happening on the ground, but it's really pretty vague. I suspect it's masking the real pressure on some households and the strong spending in other cohorts. More about that in a future show, but given the anemic spending we are seeing, it does appear the economy is still on the blink. And that was before the Iran situation blew up, and with the prospect of higher interest rates ahead. So households, yep, many are still under the gun. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.